The views reflected on this show are not necessarily the views of ESPN 1000.
You mean to tell me that you went home and swiped a ball that was signed by Babe Ruth, and you brought it out here and actually played with it, and actually played with it? Yeah!
Are you one of those people that has to know how much the Babe Ruth ball is actually worth?
I was gonna bring it back, but it was signed by Babe Ruth! Yeah, you keep telling me that. Who is she?
We'll keep it right here, because today is your lucky day.
The Sultan of Slots!
King of Crash!
The Colossus of Clouds! The Colossus of Clouds!
It's time for Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan, sponsored by ERC Delivery and Huggins and Scott Auctions.
The Great Bambino!
Good morning, everybody. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery, Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions, and our producer, Eric Ostrowski, is back with us this week. We're on every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. Central Time, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles, or if you just have something you want to call up and let us know about. There's some neat things out there. Give us a call at 312-332-3776. We're giving away to one caller, or if you tweet at TCrownTom, tweet an item we use on the show. You get in the drawing. We're giving away this week a box of 2015 Upper Deck Inscriptions football. And last week, we had a lot. We were on a two-hour show last week, which actually went really great. In the second hour, we had a ton of phone calls, and I kind of went quickly through some of them to try to get as many as possible on at the end. And we had one. It was a Babe Ruth baseball, and it had been shellacked, and he called me during the week to talk about the ball. He was going to send pictures, but awesome. I never sent it. Yeah. But I actually looked up a little bit on how shellacking can affect the value of a baseball. And this is from the PSA DNA, I guess, site. It's PSAcard.com, where they grade cards and then they authenticate autographs. But here's their deal. Shellacking at one time was a very common practice in the preservation of autographed baseballs. When it comes to PSA grading, the degree of shellacking will have an impact on the grade of the baseball itself. If the extent of the shellacking is light and does not affect the eye appeal greatly, a baseball may still achieve a grade of 7, but no higher than that.
Oh, really?
So that's kind of neat that you know that you can still get that high. And a big thing with it, and Bill, I bet you've seen this a lot, keep in mind that a shellacked ball may deteriorate, as severely shellacked baseballs have been known to exhibit cracking over time, thus hindering the grade with age. Have you noticed that a lot, Bill, when people do bring in shellacked items that you can get some cracking in it?
Well, gosh, Tom, I don't know that I've ever really seen a lot of that. I mean, what I have seen, really, though, is a ball that is just lightly shellacked. Those signatures are preserved forever. They never fade.
Yeah, true. They're beautiful.
Yeah, I almost think it's just nice, lightly done. Oh, I think that almost adds to the ball. But, I mean, I'm sure technically it doesn't because it's something added. But
right.
If you're buying a ball for display purposes and it's been very lightly shellacked, you don't have to worry about it fading.
That's true. So now we know, too, if they are getting a grade, you can still get a grade as high as a 7. That's interesting. I was going to try to call somebody, and I thought, I wonder if I can find something on the Internet. And that was pretty interesting. So that's something good to know. So if he wants to consign that Babe Ruth baseball that shellacked at Bill Huggins, you'd be very happy to take that in at Huggins and Scott in an auction, correct?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, we have oodles of buyers for that.
Yeah, it sounded like they might be considering that too. Now, HugginsandScott.com, the August auction, the bidding ends August 6th, so it's in full swing now. We're going to talk about some of the items, where the bidding currently is on some of the items, and just make sure you check out HugginsandScott.com. And now, Bill, how long? You're still at the National Convention in Rosemont today, correct?
Yep, we're here today till I believe 4 or 5 o'clock.
And, okay.
We've met lots and lots of our listeners who come up and said hi and introduced themselves to us over the week, and had lots of people, actually, even some people who called into the show, brought us items and consigned them to us here. So it's been a good week.
Beautiful. Very good. Now, I put some pictures at T-Crown Tom on my site. I was there. Vince and I were there. That was Wednesday night.
Yep, yeah. Opening night.
And,
That was a lot of fun.
I took a picture on, I posted it on, if you look down the T-Crown Tom, whatever they call that, the feed of info, on July 30th, I put some pictures up. There's a big Huggins and Scott sign, if you're looking for Bill, that you can look for that. Now, that's to the right when you walk in the front door of the National, correct, Bill?
Yep, we're in the second row, about two booths over. We almost couldn't miss it.
Yeah, very good. And then I also posted a picture of our guy Vince. Vince, at the Historic Autographs, they've got a deal going, and that's Kevin Hefner was on with us last week in the second hour from Historic Autographs, but they've got a deal going where you can buy these tins at four or five of their distributors that distribute their products at the National, and you'll get an autographed memorabilia item. It's just written in the tin, but instead of having to send away for redemption, they've got all
right
the
there.
Items
yep.
right there.
Yep.
So I've got a picture also on July 30th of Vince open enough to be able to play this game where you could win something else. And there's a really good picture. You could see the Historic Autograph sign in the background and Vince intently bouncing the one one thing, trying to get into the other one.
I was really trying to win. Well, Kevin Hefner was so gracious and so generous at his table. And I was able to win a Joe Montana signed helmet, mini helmet, a few other things. And got some of those Civil War cards as well from Kevin.
Yeah.
So,
I got an uncut sheet of that that I have up at T-Crown just against the wall.
Yeah.
I want to try to get that framed maybe. I don't know what I'm going to do with that. That's pretty neat. But also, didn't you win something from playing that game?
Yes. Yes. I won a Billy Herman, I think, Cup Auto.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Auto.
Very
Billy
good.
Herman,
well, that's
Cups
neat.
Player,
yeah.
So a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was entertaining to watch from my standpoint. So here at HugginsandScott.com, some of the items that are currently going, bidding ends August 6th, so you can still bid this week. You can go by. They've got a lot of the items on display at the National in Rosemont today. I've got a picture actually up on my Twitter feed, too, of Josh Wolkin, Bill Huggins and his son Ricky together. That was a good shot. They were intently studying something on the computer there. So, yeah, Bill, you've got a great setup there, a great display.
Yeah, we've had a lot of comments. A lot of people have they actually enjoy holding it in their hands rather than seeing it on a computer screen. It
True.
Has a slightly different effect on whether or not it's an item they are seriously interested in owning.
It sure doesn't hurt to do that if you're thinking of bidding, that's for sure.
Oh, seeing that George Custer cut auto there on display at your booth, Bill, amazing. And the Billy Southworth hat, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So you have the Southworth hat? I missed that. That's on display there too, huh?
Yeah, that's still, it's a gorgeous piece. I mean, the history behind that is amazing, you know.
I couldn't believe how many items you guys had. You sound a little tired, Bill. It's probably been a busy week, huh?
It has been, yeah.
Well, if you go, the number here is 312-332-3776. You can call us with an item if you have something you think might be good in a Huggins and Scott auction, or just want to know the value of an item, think something's neat, give us a call. We're giving away to one caller or tweeter a Upper Deck Inscriptions football box, which has four autographs in it. And the interesting part about this product, they're in their collegiate uniforms, but they didn't just sign it. They add an inscription.
Oh, cool.
So it could be their jersey number. They could be like Go Gators or how many touchdowns they scored or whatever, which I like inscriptions added to a signature. It just adds a little. It's a good boost and sometimes goes for quite a bit more in value.
I agree.
But if you go to HugginsandScott.com, you know, here's something that that's one thing I've noticed whenever I look through their stuff. There's always something there I've never seen before. I didn't know there was such a thing. 1930 Cracker Jack complete set of 25 PSA graded pins number 4 on the registry. So not only are they there, but they're on the registry with a 6.55 average grade point average. That's higher than my grade point average in school ever was. But that's at $1,700. So obviously people know about these and like them. Do you get those very often, Bill? I've never seen those before.
We rarely ever get sets, but we've had singles of them. There's, I believe, a Gehrig and a Fox and something in that set. There's quite a number of Hall of Famers in that set. It's about a 25-pin set. And, they're hard to find, and they're hard to find in nice shape because of the texture of the metal that they are made out of. Sometimes you start to get rust or deterioration over the years.
Interesting. Now, also, I get emails, in addition to people tweeting items during the week, or if you bring an item into Triple Crown, I'll take a picture and post it on Twitter a lot, but people will email me about items, and here was, I thought might be better than it was, but it turns out it's not that valuable. Here's one from John. Sent me an email. Tom, I have a canceled check from the Chicago Stadium Corporation. Check number 1, which might help the value some, but signed in 1938 by Arthur Wirtz. So I thought, that was pretty neat. But there's a lot of them out there, actually. And on eBay, the ones that have been selling, they're only $15 to $35. Now, maybe being number 1, that would go higher, but that's all we had on that one.
You think that would
one.
Be worth a little bit more
I would
than
have
that.
Thought so,
bucks?
Too. The whole Wirtz family and everything. But now, I've got a tie-in with one of the things that...
You have a tie-in for everything. You could tie anything into anything. We know that.
It's like things shoot off into interesting categories. So I'm looking at Huggins and Scott, and they have what's basically the first football card ever produced, Harry Beecher. And think of this now. He went to Yale. This was in, like, 1886. Can you imagine Harry Beecher when he's sitting there in 1886 getting his picture taken and, his football uniform? Could he have ever imagined that, 130 years later or whatever, that people would be bidding on this card? But right now, it's an 1888 N162 Goodwin Champions graded PSA 4.5. That's at $2,200. But I looked up on him. I didn't realize this. He was the nephew of Harriet Beecher Stowe, who's the famous author who wrote 30 books, including Uncle Tom's Cabin. So that was pretty neat.
Very cool tie-in, absolutely.
Yeah, who would have thought it? Who would have thunk it? Bill, did you know that? I bet you didn't know that.
I definitely did not know that.
Oh, there we go. See? We finally got him on something.
Twice in one year.
So there's a story for people. Now, if they're asking about Harry Beecher, you know he's the nephew of Harriet Beecher Stowe. That's if Wikipedia is correct.
Right.
And usually
According to
it
Wikipedia,
is. Yeah,
yes,
right. Yes. Also, I had a customer brought in. He picked up at the National, and I put a picture of this up on Twitter. This was kind of neat. It was a 1955 Guys and Dolls sheet music. It's like I think it's 32 pages vocal selections. It's like a program. But pictured on the cover are Marlon Brando, Gene Simmons, Frank Sinatra, and Vivian Blaine. There's a name that doesn't really fit in with the rest of them, but I guess she was big at the time, too. But Frank Sinatra signed the cover of this,
nice.
Bill. Have you had many items? It looks like this might be in the $750 to $1,000 range. Do you get many vintage Sinatra items in, signed items?
No, I think we've had a few, but no, you don't get many of those in there. We've had a couple. I want to say we did have one. At one point, an item signed by the Rat Pack.
Oh, that would be neat.
Wow.
Yeah.
Was that a picture of the four of them or however
many? I'm trying to remember what it was. I don't know if it may have been an envelope or something that somebody had from a hotel that they saw them all at or a casino in Vegas or something.
Well, that's pretty likely they would have been able to catch him at one of those spots at about 4 in the morning when they were just starting to get wound up. Those guys used to, they were night owls, I would say.
I've heard.
Yeah. Okay, we have a call from Paul in Kenosha, Wisconsin. What's new, Paul?
Good morning. I was just wondering, I know back in the day, the starting lineup figures, we want to say their popularity was short-lived. What about McFarland figures? Is there any value in any of those?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's some value to them. They're still making them. They make some, they're actually good quality if you like that type of thing. I'm more into ceramic type figurines or, but to me, any figurine like that, if it's lifelike, I think it can be very good. So there's a little bit of value to them. And like any of the old toys, if you have them in really good shape, but also in the original packaging, that's usually big on an item like that. Bill, have you noticed any certain ones? Do you ever handle McFarlane's, like a lot of them, or a group that'll do anything, or are they just not quite valuable enough?
Well, I think they kind of need to get older. I know the main thing that people chase with the McFarlane's are the variations. They'll make, maybe 10 to 1 or 20 to 1 or even greater. I'm not sure what the distribution level is, but they'll make like a home and a road jersey of one of the players. And the one is just 10 or 20 or more times scarcer than the other. And those are very highly sought after. And they sell for, $50 to $100 initially right when they first come out.
Yeah, that's pretty good. So keep it, if you have them. If you do have them, try to keep them in the original packaging and just like anything else in really good shape. Well, it's already time for our first break. The number is 312-332-3776. We're giving away to one caller or tweeter a box of 2015 Upper Deck Inscriptions football. You just have to call in with a question about the value of a collectible, or if you have something you think is neat, give us a call. And we'll try to give you an estimate of what it might sell for in a current auction. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan. Sponsored by ERCDelivery.com and Huggins and Scott Auctions on ESPN 1000 and ESPNChicago.com.
House of the Rising Sun may have been the first record I ever bought when I was a kid. It may have been. I don't know, but I think, just hearing that right there. Once again, off on a tangent.
Just a little bit.
Tom, this is one of my favorite songs.
Is it really?
It may be double my age, but it's one of my favorite
songs. Yeah. It's probably more than double your age. Yeah, that's good. Okay, well, I'm Tom Morgan with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on every Sunday morning from 7 to 8 taking your questions about the value of your collectibles. Give us a call, 312-332-3776. Or tweet me a picture of an item at TCrownTom as my Twitter ID. And if it gets on the show, you'll get in the drawing. We're giving away a box of Upper Deck Inscriptions football. Now, if you listen every week, you'll know what I'm talking about here. But if you don't, I'll fill you in. I had two or three weeks ago, a lady called. She and her husband went to Northwestern. They found an item. What they said is they found it in a dumpster in Evanston outside Northwestern. That's the big mystery to this whole thing. But what it was is a shillelagh that was originally given to Newt Rockne by, I believe, the president of the Free Irish Republic in around 1930. And this thing is a neat looking item. A couple weeks ago, I tweeted a picture of it, including a close-up of this. They put like a, what would you call that? That like a metal circle thing around it where it was stamped, engraved with Northwestern versus Notre Dame, the date of 1931. And the idea was it would be like the old oaken bucket or whatever, where it's a type of thing. Whoever won the yearly game between Notre Dame and Northwestern, their team got to keep that at their school until the next year.
Right, yep.
Well, they played virtually every year for quite a while. Then they stopped playing for a while. Then they picked it back up again. I think the last time Northwestern won was when Ara Parseghian was coach in 1962, and then they went 10 or 15 years, and Notre Dame won every year. So that's why, and then it stopped in like in the 70s.
Right.
I think 1976 is when the annual game between the two stopped for another 20 or 30 years or whatever. But at that time, the Shillelagh disappeared. Now, if Notre Dame had won all those games, it should have been at Notre Yep. Dame's possession. How it would have ended up in the dumpster, I don't know. But I actually heard from Charles Lamb, who's the assistant director of archives at Notre Dame, and he thinks it is the real deal. He also doesn't know how it ended up there, but who knows? I mean, maybe they stopped doing it. They just took it with them to the game at Northwestern and then dumped it because they weren't going to be playing anymore. Another group of coaches might have came in and didn't want it. I don't know, but he said looking at the photo, it sure looked like the real deal to him. So that was interesting. So now, Bill, she apparently is going to be talking to Northwestern archives and trying to find any more about it. But, Bill, is that enough for you if you wanted? Would you be able to auction an item like that, or would you even want to auction an item like that?
Well, I think maybe a little more diligence or research or something may be needed in order for us. The last thing we want to do is sell something that isn't what we say it is.
Yes, and right.
If it can be pretty much ironclad proven that, you know, or not disproven that it is what it says it is, I think it would be a great item.
Yeah,
what it sells for, our Shillelagh, you know, record of selling that is probably not too deep, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Shillelagh is that there haven't been a lot on the market. And for those who don't know a Shillelagh, it's basically like a walking stick.
Now, isn't there a picture of that Shillelagh with Newt Rockne holding it or in a picture with it?
I don't know if there's one with that they found.
Right.
I don't know. There are pictures in the newspapers, and there are newspaper reports over the years in the 30s and 40s talking about Newt Rockne getting it and how he started it. And so that was the legend anyway. If it's ironclad proof, I don't think that is, but it sure is the legend. And it's a neat, when you look at the pictures of it, it's really a neat item. And actually, when you look at some of these type trophies that were going between schools, some of them can sell for a lot of money. So I don't know. I think it could have the potential.
Absolutely.
Somebody who graduated from one of those universities that was big into the football teams, I would think the bidding could get pretty good on an item like that.
If there's a picture of him, Rockne, holding it, or
if they could find
that office or something,
that would be big. And then you could match that up with the current photo. That would
great
be big.
Story.
Yeah, it really is. Now, speaking of stories, before we've got a lot of callers waiting here, but Vince, you were at the National yesterday, and you opened a pack.
I bought one box of Cooperstown, and then Naperville Bill and I walked over to Huggins and Scott's booth, and we started to open it. And the first card was a common Joe DiMaggio. Second card was a common Don Sutton. The third card was a common Miller Huggins.
Miller Huggins, how coincidental. Yeah, right.
We're at the Huggins and Scott auctions booth, and there's a Miller Huggins. The very next card was kind of like a common Roberto Clemente.
So you got Huggins and Clemente, like the show.
Yeah, Naperville Bill's like, oh my God, what are the odds? And I was like, wow, this is really cool. And then we're like, well, if the next card, and then we look at the next card, Joe Morgan. I swear that's what happened.
That is.
It was the most amazing experience of my life. It was like the heavens opened up and just said, wow.
That really is incredible, the three of them together.
In a row, in sequence.
Yeah, unbelievable. Yep. Okay, well, Chris from Beach Park is on the line. Where's Beach Park, Chris?
Basically Waukegan.
Okay, all right. What's up? What do you have?
I have a flag from the 1996 PGA Championship that I had signed by a whole bunch of golfers.
Okay.
I got, like, Arnold Palmer. I did have Jack Nicklaus. That faded away. He never let anybody sign in blue. Apparently it fades.
Boy, that's too bad.
By Payne Stewart's on there.
Ooh, that's good.
Did real nice. Real nice. I'm sorry?
Was that before Tiger?
Yeah. Yes, that was before Tiger.
Okay.
I might have the year wrong. It was in Toledo and Inverness. I'm driving, so I'm like, hope I got the year right. But I was there personally. I got all these autographs. Nick Price. There's like 30 autographs on it. The ticket that I had. It's just kind of neat.
Yeah, what do you think of that, Bill?
Great item. Do you happen to have the winner of the tournament on it, Chris?
No, I do not.
Who won that one? Do you remember?
I have no idea anymore.
Should he try to find whoever won that and try to get him on there still, Bill?
We've sold a lot of flags where people have gotten a group of signatures from the players in that event, and they always seem to do better if you have the winner of that tournament on.
Yeah. Do a little research, check it out. But, Bill, as is, if he wanted to auction it with you, do you think you'd want to put it in, like, the November auction?
I think it would be a great item, especially if he's got the tickets and maybe a program from the whole thing, kind of a package like that. That's a moment in time.
Very good.
The household name of Mark Brooks won that PGA championship.
Really? Mark Brooks? Now, where would you find him? That might be tough to find, but actually, if you can find him, get it done.
I will.
Mark Brooks. Boy, that's a name that
I've heard of him.
Have you?
Yeah.
I don't think I've heard that. I mean, I don't remember that name at all, but that's probably why I'm in the middle of the pack in the fantasy golf, too. I am moving up,
yes,
though.
Yes, you are.
Ira from Kildare is on the line. What's up there, Ira?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Thanks for having me on, taking the call.
Sure.
I got two cool items I'd like to share with you. I was at the Crosstown Classic. I'm thinking it was in the late 90s, right around the time when Frank Thomas was on the outs with the Sox, and parked outside the stadium, was blocked in. Lo and behold, it's Frank Thomas who's blocked me, and I had a Cubs ball that I couldn't get any of the Cubs guys to sign, so I said, hey, Frank, how about signing my ball for me? So he signed the ball for me, and I got a picture with him. And the second item I've got is was out at a buddy of mine has an acquaintance with MJ, and we're out at one of his restaurants, and got a cigar from him, Arturo Fuente, with a private label from him that I've kept.
Huh.
So I'll listen to your guys' call, response to the call, and thanks again.
So can you get DNA of Michael Jordan off that cigar?
Well, I actually got two. I smoked one with him and kept the other.
Really? That's
good. Yeah.
Did you get any pictures of yourself smoking cigars with MJ?
Yeah, no, we didn't. We didn't. This was way before smartphones.
Okay, yeah, I guess so. That's right. Well, I don't know. What do you think, Bill? Anything there that...
Well, that may be more of a personal memento of his experience with that, and that's hard to share with somebody when you sell an item like that. But neat story, neat item, sure.
I would think the Frank Thomas ball, probably $75. Now, that ties in with Superman Todd sent a picture on Twitter. Once again, I don't know where he gets this stuff, but he's got Frank Thomas, the black high-top shoes that he says these were game-issued, and both shoes are signed. So game-issued, not necessarily worn. Anything exciting with that, Bill? Two Frank Thomas large game-issued shoes? They do look...
Yeah, I mean, if game issues that, you know, sign, they may be a couple of $100 on their best day or something.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's game used would be different, although shoes are probably about as low on the, I think, the collector pole as you get. But, you know, with uniforms and hats and bats and gloves and all that, shoes, there are some shoes that sell, but I don't see a whole lot of a major, you know, interest in game-worn shoes for some reason.
Yeah, not as much as some of the other items. Like in the Huggins and Scott August auction, the bidding's going right now, ends August 6th. There's a Brett Favre 2001 signed game-worn Packers helmet. And the cool thing about that, there's a picture of Favre holding that helmet with the autograph on it. And that's at $3,500 already. So, yeah.
That's going to go up some more.
I would think
so.
That's
amazing.
Yeah, I would think so. Next on the line, we have Alex from the Ukraine Village. What's up, Alex?
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
Good.
Good. I've got, I started collecting last year, but I've got the rookie autographed patch cards of every starter on the Cubs right now, including Lester, Arrieta, Almora, Baez and Alcantara. So I've got really the top 15 players that'll come up in the next year also.
Wow, now that's a good collection. So you have Schwarber and Chris Bryant stuff?
I just picked up Schwarber last week, but yeah, I got the Bryant one. They're all 9.5 and above.
Ooh, now that's good. That's good. If you're going to collect that stuff, if you can afford it, that's the way to do it. Boy, I'll tell you, that Schwarber just looks like he's going to be just a hitter. They're going to have to just play left field, catch, whatever. They got to have him in the lineup. He can really hit. And, Chris Bryant's been fading some. His average has gone down, but when you look at it, he still has 60 runs batted in and a .350 on base percentage. So he's doing fine. I mean,
he's slipping a little bit.
Yeah, but, he's been in a slump, it seems like, since that All-Star game home run derby. And Rizzo came right after the break, was in a slump, but all of a sudden, man, he's hopped out of it with hitting the home runs lately.
The Cubs are hanging in the playoff race. They're hanging in there.
So are the White Sox, actually. Pretty amazing.
Like 7 or 8 in a row
that,
or something.
That hot streak where all of a sudden they were not hitting at all, and all of a sudden everybody started hitting. It's been ever since Saladino got into the lineup, it seems like they've just played better as a team. But those are great items. And if those guys ever do put it together and win a World Series for the Cubs, you're going to be sitting on a gold mine there without a doubt. Now, it's already time for another short break. We've got some callers. If you hang in there, we'll be back shortly, a short break here. But give us a call, 312-332-3776. We're on till 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles, and we're giving away a box of 2015 Upper Deck Inscriptions football to one caller, or if you tweet an item and we use it on the show, you get in the drawing also. So hang in there. We'll be right back.
Now back to Sports Collecting with Tom Morgan.
Welcome back. I'm Tom Morgan from Triple Crown in Naperville with Vince Clemente of ERC Delivery and Bill Huggins of Huggins and Scott Auctions. We're on every Sunday morning from 7 to 8, taking your questions about the value of your collectibles, trying to give you an estimate of what your item might sell for in a current auction. We were talking about the Shillelagh. It looks like Superman Todd might have found something. What this could be, I have no idea. Superman Todd, what exactly?
Look, up in the sky.
Wait,
it's a
what?
Bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman.
What'd you find, Superman Todd?
Hey, good morning, guys. I just did a little Google work, and if you go on the Google Images and Google Newt Rockne with Shillelagh, the fourth picture over is this Shillelagh, and it actually comes on a stand, and there's a link to a website called HailToPurple.com.
Yeah, I saw that stuff. Now, is there actually a picture of Newt Rockne holding the Shillelagh, though?
No, there's not, but it explains all about it, and it's got, it's supposed to sit on a stand, and it talks about it and stuff like that, but I couldn't find any pictures of him with it.
No, that would be good to, there might not be any, because,
I don't see anything with
if
the
he got there. It in 1930 and started it where he decided to, let's start this in 31, well, he died in a plane crash in March of 31, so there's a very good chance there wouldn't be a picture of him, you know, with that. Right. But thanks, Superman Todd. That's a little additional info. And now don't forget, Huggins and Scott Auctions bidding is currently going on their August auction. Go to HugginsandScott.com. Bidding ends August 6th. Lots of great stuff. Lots of great graded cards. There's Jordan rookie cards. A PSA 8 is currently at $1,200. A PSA 9 is currently at $2,750. Jordan rookies have really heated up over the last year or so. Jake from Chicago is on the line. Thanks for waiting, Jake. What do you have? Hello, Jake.
Yes. Let's go while we're young.
Okay, there's Jake.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah,
gentlemen, I have a 1979 NCAA Final Four program that the game that featured Magic Johnson versus Larry Bird. Is there any? Because I went to that game in Utah.
Cool.
Is there any value in that program?
Have they both signed it?
No.
Well, Bill, it just unsigned. Is there anything to that program? And then Should he try to get it signed? Did you go there, Jake, because you were a DePaul guy and wanted to see DePaul in the Final Four?
I had a very good friend who was a DePaul student at the time.
Okay.
So we went on a student.
Yeah. What do you think, Bill? Is that something that would need to be signed, or is it a decent value?
Well,
on its own?
It, as it sits right now, it's probably somewhere in the $50 to $100 range, I would guess. Signed, you're probably looking at 3 to 5 times that.
Yeah, that really seemed to be basketball took off to a new level after that whole, that was big. The whole NCAA tournament really took off after that. I mean, it was pretty big before that, but it really took off after that. I forget what the ratings were for the Bird Magic game, but they were just huge, the amount of people that watched that.
And somebody's asking $45 for the same program on eBay. So once again, Bill, you're spot on that value.
Yeah, so good item, but I'd try to get Bird and Magic to sign it if you could, and then get it framed. You know, speaking of framing, we've got a new sponsor that's going to be starting Art and Frame in Naperville, and they framed a couple pieces for me and do a great job. Agatha there at Art and Frame in Naperville. Check out that spot there at the corner of Ogden and Washington in the Plaza by the Jewel there. So if you need any sports framing done, they're going to be starting being a sponsor, and I've through experience, real good to deal with, do a real good job. I actually tweeted a couple items. They have a thing where they frame a jersey, and then in the bottom left and right, they put 8x10 photos, action photos, in the frame, too, of the guys that's on the jersey, which to me really adds to it.
That is cool.
It seems like, well, that's a good idea. Why wouldn't I have thought of that? But they do it, and it looks good.
A few of the jerseys I got at the Historic Autographs booth on Wednesday night from
there
Kevin.
There you go.
We'll be going over to Agatha and having her take care of the framing for me.
You should have a nice wall of jerseys there.
Absolutely.
Rick from Wilmette's on the line. What do you have there, Rick?
Hey, guys. I got a couple items for you. I got a bunch, but a couple I'll tell you. And this one first. This is not the two. It's kind of a joke. It's a 89 autographed White Sox card by Sammy Sosa, and he weighed 185 pounds on the back of it.
Oh, boy.
An idea. I thought, I don't care what that's worth. I don't think anybody wants it from either team.
Wasn't it by 1999 that's what his head weighed?
I got a kick out of that one.
Yeah.
Okay, the two I have are, one is a 1991 autographed used hockey stick by the entire Blackhawk team. Chelios is on there, Balfour is on there, JR's on there. I think Manson signed it twice, so that's Manson.
Did he forget he signed it the first time?
I guess,
wait a minute, did I sign this?
Though.
Yeah, no, that's one of the, not a Stanley Cup winning team, but one of the more popular teams with those guys on it, so I would think. Now, did you say that was game used by somebody?
Well, it's used, I guess, in the game. I assume it was in the game. It's used. I think that's the year that they had the best record in hockey, then got swept by Minnesota.
Yeah. We don't like to remember that, though.
No, I don't either.
Yeah. But, if you knew who used it, if it was a Roenick-used stick, that would help. What would the difference be in the value there, Bill, if it was like a Chelios game-used stick signed by the team or just a stick signed by the team? Big difference in value?
Yeah, somewhat of a difference. I mean, the fact that, like you said, they didn't actually win the Stanley Cup. If they had won that year, you're looking at a monumental stick there. But you're still looking at several hundred dollars for that item. Probably a good T-crown item.
Yeah, it's definitely a popular Blackhawks team with that group. And then they turned into the Dark Ages there for a while where they got rid of all those guys for nothing. It was just so ridiculous. Jeff from Highland tweeted me a picture of a Jermaine Dye MVP Forever Collectibles bobblehead. That's kind of neat. I don't know what those go for, but having the World Series trophy with the bobblehead, I like that. I have a few bobbleheads at home. I would think that's got to be at least $50, $60, I would think. I don't know how many of them they made, but White Sox fans are always going to be – people still collect 59 White Sox stuff.
Yep,
so White Sox fans will always be collecting the guys that were big in the 2005 World Series run, without a doubt. Okay, let's go to Lester from Michigan City. What do you have there, Lester?
Yes, good morning. How's everybody doing?
Doing great.
Okay, last month I thought I ordered some lobby cards from the Lone Ranger movie, and instead the guy sent me trading cards. And he only sent me four, and there's supposed to be a set of 10. How would I go about trying to get the other 10?
Do you have his address?
Yeah.
Go get him.
I do.
You got him on eBay? Through eBay?
Amazon.
And I don't order through Amazon. I know if eBay, if you pay through PayPal, you can put in a claim. You can file a claim through PayPal if you don't get what you're supposed to be getting. I don't know how they work it on Amazon.
I imagine they have a customer service link that you can contact them.
I would try to contact them.
You know,
Did they actually use trading cards in movie theaters as lobby cards?
Well, what year are you talking about?
Back in the 50s.
Wow, now that's, I thought you were talking about a newer movie that came out.
No.
You know, Bill, have you ever seen Lone Ranger 50s cards? That might be not bad. I don't know. I haven't seen them.
Lester, Lone Ranger did have cards, but they were in the late 30s. 38 or 39, I believe they came out. Superman also had a set that year. And those two sets, they're both about 70 card sets, and the high numbers from both of those sets, but they were, like I said, they were 70 some card sets, 72 card sets. So I'm not sure what this 10 card set is that you have.
Yeah, or even if it's a reprint or an original, if you can somehow send us pictures of it, we might be able to help you a little with what you have. But anytime you don't get something in your mail order through one of those sites, typically you'll be able to put in a claim and hopefully get what you're supposed to be getting. Okay, now this is something I've skipped this for the last couple of weeks. I got to talk about this one. Scott from Warrenville, I put a picture a while back of this. He had a 1952 White Sox pinback set. There's 11 pins with guys like Nellie Fox, those guys. And he had 10 of the 11, but he also had this original like cap that he had them all pinned to. And I was thinking that might be in the 200 to 300 range. They look like they're in really good shape, but I don't know if missing the one. Bill, are you familiar with this pinback set where I think they had one where you had to join something, and he doesn't have that one. It's like a club or something. Does that make sense? Is that something you've ever seen?
I'm not picturing what it is. I don't know if these are the PM10 pins, which they did for a lot of the teams back then, and they may have done 8 or 10 White Sox. But those just are really kind of it's about a 1-inch or 1.5-inch round pin that basically has the player's name on it. Now, it wouldn't have the team name on it, so if these have Chicago White Sox on it, it's got to be a different issue than I'm thinking.
Okay, well, these were the picture of the player, and you could tell they were White Sox, but I don't know that it said White Sox on them. But somewhere along the way, I saw something similar, and I think it was a couple $100. So I'm going to say this is probably worth $200 or $300. That's probably not enough for a Huggins and Scott auction, is it, Bill? That might be more of a T-Crown thing, or would you want to try that?
I really kind of want to find out a little bit more about when this was issued and you know, what condition they're in and everything, but the caller or the tweeter would like to contact me, tell them definitely do it.
Yeah, they were from 1952, that I do know. And it was an 11-pin set, and he had 10 of the pins. So, yeah, maybe that'd work out. So if you, Scott from Warrenville, if you want to contact Bill Huggins, the number is 301-608-0355. I got another email from Peter, who had a Victor Espinoza 8x10 auto on American Pharoah at the Belmont, and he had all three races $2 winning tickets and had them all framed together, which for a racing fan, that to me is a cool item. I think to me that's got to be at least a few $100 with all the tickets, and it just looked really good. He sent a picture of it. Looked really good. Do you ever run that type of an item at Huggins and Scott auctions, Bill?
Yes, absolutely. That would be a great item. We've actually had ones with a couple of the other Triple Crown winners, Seattle Slew and Secretariat and Affirmed. And I think we even had a ticket or a win ticket or something on Citation from 1948.
Ooh, wow, neat. Yeah, see, I like that type
cool.
of stuff.
Yep.
Definitely. This Peter also had another framed thing where he had Upper Deck all-time greats Michael Jordan insert cards and also autographed cards together. You know, and you can really do some nice stuff like that if you like to collect stuff and want to display it. They can do a lot of things with the framing, without a doubt. So, yeah, I like that. Any type of horse racing items like that with tickets and an autograph on, you know, with the...
I have a few Secretariat things hanging in my basement, so
yeah,
I got some nice stuff.
There's good value to that
absolutely.
Stuff. There's
yep.
always going to be collectors for Secretariat. I mean, up until now, it still looks like the best horse ever. I mean, when you look at the time at the Belmont, it was just incredible. Now, the Huggins and Scott auction bidding is currently going in the August auction. Bidding ends August 6th. Go to HugginsandScott.com. They can now, Bill, you're at the National in Rosemont today till about 4 o'clock. If somebody wanted to register for bidding, you have a lot of the stuff on display there. Would they be able to register right at the National today with you?
Oh, we've done that all week with people. Yes. That takes about 3 minutes to fill out all the necessary information. And we've had actually people walk up, see an item and say, am I registered with you? No, you're not. Well, let's register you. And they've actually placed bids right at the booth.
Oh, wow. That's nice. Very good. And it's such a, this is just an excellent auction with all the different stuff there. One item that I'm familiar with, the 1935 National Chickle card number 34 of Bronco Nagurski. Graded a PSA 5. That's at $4,000 already.
Nice.
Now, next Sunday, we'll be given the final bids on a lot of this stuff, which should be really interesting what some of this stuff's going to go for. I like this one. A guy sent in, I think it was 1934, a fan letter to Lou Gehrig, and Gehrig signed the back of the letter, I guess, and sent it back to him. It's a nice Gehrig signature on there, $2,200 that currently is in the auction bidding. A 1953 Topps Mickey Mantle card number 82, graded by SGC a 70, which is EX plus 5.5 if you're comparing it to PSA. That's at $1,800. I like these cards. You don't see these, the play ball cards, at least coming into T-Crown very often, but here's a 1941 play ball Joe DiMaggio card, number 71, graded near mint 7, SGC 84. That's a nice card. $2,100 is the current bidding on that card. Mickey Mantle 1951 Bowman rookie card, graded by SGC a 60, which is an EX5, $4,750.
Wow.
And then you've got a lot of unopened packs. Once again, Bill, this is kind of incredible. 1976 Topps Baseball unopened 36-pack box, $3,750.
Wow.
Who would have thunk it?
Nice. Yeah. I wish I could go back to my childhood. I had a few of those.
Yeah, think how many of those you ripped open.
Bunch,
of it.
Yes.
And then there's a 1977 Topps Star Wars Series 1 unopened wax box of 36 packs, $1,100 for that. 1957 Top Series 2, just a wax pack, one pack, PSA 7. That's at $2,200.
Amazing.
So dig in your attics, find those unopened boxes.
Open
from
those floorboards and take it out.
Yeah.
You know,
what do you think,
that?
Bill? Mid-70s or older, and send it to friendly Bill Huggins at HugginsandScott.com. Well, Vince, it's time to do the drawing
this
now.
This week's winner is Scott from Warrenville. So, Scott from Warrenville, email me, Vince at ARCDelivery.com. I'll get back to you, set up delivery at your convenience, free of charge.
And do it, because it's a 2015 Upper Deck Inscriptions football box. Okay, everybody, now don't forget, Bill Huggins is at in Rosemont at the National Sports Collectors Convention today till 4 o'clock. If you're going, check out the Huggins and Scott booth. When you walk in the door, there's a big sign. You'll see it all off to the right, and they've got a lot of stuff on display there. So thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great week, and we'll be back next Sunday, 7 to 8. Thanks for listening. Have a good one.